Okay, everybody, this is the Mike and Abe Show. So hello to everyone. And Mike, is you there?
I'm here. I am here.
Yeah, what did you want to talk about? You said you had a lot of stuff you wanted to talk about today.
All right, so here's what's happening now in the yellow cab business. At first, we had a thing where we were happily making money. The taxi medallion was about $850,000 in New York City for yellow cab owners who came to the country and bought medallions. And things were rocking and rolling. Then someone said, you know, the wheelchair people demand cab service. Everyone is like, well, what are you talking about? Every time I turn around, I'm putting a wheelchair in a trunk to help somebody. And I said, no, we want wheelchairs now. And taxis for all. The big signs come to the DLC meeting, taxis for all, which really used to piss me off because I keep remembering putting wheelchairs in my trunk in the rain and cradling wheelchair passengers in my arms to lift them into a cab in that rain. This big propaganda thing about how horrible yellow cabs are when it comes to wheelchair people. So apparently the politician ran like rats, didn't want to be outed in the press about being anti-disabled, and they said, oh, well, all the yellow cabs now have to be wheelchair accessible. And the powers that be in the yellow cab business said, well, listen, you got to be kidding me, because how many times do you pick up a wheelchair, like once a week? And there was some negotiation where they said, okay, now half of the wheelchair cabs should be on the road. Like, we could do 50% of the cabs needing to be wheelchair accessible. Okay, that's where we are right now. So they say, okay, well, to pay for these plans, it's 30 cents a trip, and it's also going to be a fund where the 30 cents goes into a fund, then it will be ricocheted back to the cabbies in the form of payments for these jobs for their time and that extra effort, and to cover the cost of expensive new vehicles, which have hydraulics and brake all the time, which wasn't the case. So now we have this big whoop-de-doo thing going where nothing happened for like a year or two. People are buying cabs that break down because it's all hydraulics and mumbo-jumbo connected with this new setup. We're going to wheelchair class to learn how to do this. And now finally, we're getting some money coming in from the fund because in addition to wheelchair accessible rides, we're also getting accessoride rides. So we're getting like two for now. And some money is coming into the drivers. Not much, but maybe like, let's say, the guys who are actively doing it are getting about $600 or $700 a month in a check. It's not a lot, but it's something. Okay? Now, fast forward to today where there's this big hoopla that was the case 2 or 3 years ago where it's like, well, if the yellow cabs have to be wheelchair accessible, why can't the Uber cars have the same law, which was the problem? Because Uber, being Uber, said, well, we have a great idea. Instead of us getting cars to help the disabled, why don't we just forward the emails for requests to the yellow cabs and the green cars, which I thought was unfair. But now we're in a situation where there's this outcry about the half the industry for the wheelchair disabled people should be accessible. Where are the rides? Where are the rides? I mean, right now we're getting a little traction going to help the cabbies who have done this to get their cars fixed. And now they want to thin it out by making the remaining 80,000 vehicles wheelchair accessible. Where are these rides? Nobody knows about this plan. Where are the ads on the radio? Where are the ads on TV? Where are the ads on the website? Where are the ads in the newspaper? The Taxi Commission has done virtually nothing to promote this program, and the money keeps piling up from these 30 cents per ride surcharges that should be devoted to doing stuff. And you ask the chairperson Joshi about this, she goes, well, we should look into that. We should. Nothing is happening. And so the other thing that concerns me is now the yellow cab industry and the green car industry is finally getting some money from providing this useful, needed service. And now, where these rides don't exist, they want to flood the entire streets of New York with another 30 or 40,000 wheelchair accessible vehicles. My God, there's only about, I'd say, 100,000 or 150,000 people in New York who need the service 3 or 4 times a week. I mean, what are we doing here? And now you're going to take food out of the mouth of the cab drivers who are finally getting some of this fund money, and you're just going to have these cars doing, like, maybe 3 or 4 calls a month if you flood the streets. what's the point of doing that besides somebody making money on the side? I don't know. I don't know what the math is on that, but it just makes a lot of nonsense versus sense. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. I'm looking for this story that our friend David Pollack wrote. This article that was. Mm-hmm. I can't seem to find it. I know where to look for it. Let me look for it. I did put it on NYC Taxi News, so give me a second. While I'm looking for this article, let me just say this, okay? Let me mm-hmm. say this. Originally, they wanted half the taxis to be wheelchair accessible, okay? And this is a result of a deal they made with the courts. Okay, on a lawsuit that Mike Bloomberg made this deal, our friend Mike Bloomberg and his yeah. best friend David Yasky, that they would make 50% of the taxi cabs wheelchair accessible. Okay, so along comes so none of the drivers, not none of them, but a lot of the drivers don't want to drive these wheelchair cars because they're gas eaters and they break down a lot. And despite all the money that they're going to get for repairs and this and that, they still don't want to drive the cars. Okay, so the cry from our industry is, you know, so Uber comes along and steals the drivers and says, you don't need wheelchair cars, come drive for us. Okay,
right.
So
that's a very good point.
Yeah, you know, so we've been crying out, well, they should be wheelchair accessible to the level of the playing field so that they won't want to drive for Uber either. Okay, you know, if they have to have wheelchair cars, okay,
mm-hmm.
all right. So that's basically where it stood, and now the TLC is going to have a meeting next month. They're proposing rules to make the black car segment of the industry 25% accessible. Okay,
mm-hmm.
all right. Now I just found David Pollack's article. Okay, I'm going to bring it up. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Let me just bring it to the forefront. Okay, all right. So suddenly there's an article that appeared in Cranes this week where they're meeting with the TLC. All of the black car segments that were anti-Uber and because Uber was stealing their business also. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and stealing their drivers. Okay, suddenly they've all met with the TLC, and it's saying, "Look, we don't need to be 25% accessible. We have solutions. We have solutions that will take care of this. Okay, and everybody will be happy. Okay, but this does not, this will not. Whatever the solutions are, and they'll probably be brought up at the meeting and for the public to know, okay? Whatever the solutions are, it does not eliminate the need, the mandate for 50% of the yellow taxi cabs to be accessible, okay? Now, I commented on this Cranes article, and I want to read my comment, okay? If you read the Cranes article, which is on NYC Taxi News, have you read the article, Mike? Yes or no?
What article?
In Cranes.
I'll say what article. How about that?
Okay, in Cranes. Okay. One of the sub headlines is that they consider the mandate overkill. Okay, the black cars, the 25%. They consider this mandate overkill. So I commented.
The whole thing is overkill.
I commented on this article in the comments section. Okay, and I was the only one to comment. I'm amazed that I'm the only one to comment. And I'm going to read you my comment, okay?
Right.
They consider this mandate overkill. The yellow taxis have already been murdered. So why should the black car segment be excused, which is what they're asking for? They're asking to be excused from, 25, right. Please excuse us. We don't want to do this. It's overkill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The need for the service, this is what I wrote, the need for the service should be calculated, and the service for the need should be distributed fairly to all segments of the industry. So in other words,
correct.
They should figure out just how many people a day need wheelchair service, okay? Be it 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever, and there should be enough cars, yellow cars, black cars, livery cars, green cars, okay, whatever. There should be enough of these cars equally percentage-wise. Say 5% of the yellows, 5% of the 5% of the greens, 5% of the liveries, you know, 5% of the Ubers, whatever. Whatever that is, they should equally, you know, put this into being, okay? You know, do it fairly, do it mathematically, okay? And then I wrote, should be distributed fairly to all segments of the industry. And while they are at it, okay, while they are at it, the black car FHV industry should be scaled down to satisfy what is needed for pre-arrangement and then capped. These cars have been strangling New York City streets. Please, let us all breathe. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's my comment.
Right.
Okay? So now you...
That's a very good comment.
Okay. Okay, well, it was a well-thought-out comment, all right? But it didn't take me long to think that, all right? Because this has been on my mind for the last 20 years, all right?
Well, this is the problem. First of all, the cap with Uber cars. This is the panic move by the city and Cuomo because MTA is falling apart. They just want to flood the street with cars. They don't care about traffic.
This is nonsense. This is nonsense. Fix the trains.
They don't know
fix the trains. Fix the trains. Okay? The subways, you can't dismantle the subway system. You must maintain it. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
And that's the other thing. Oh, and congestion pricing is coming back around also. I just heard that.
That's another story. Okay, but as far as or having all of these thousands of for hire vehicles on the streets, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. There is no need for all of these vehicles on the street. Okay, fix the trains. And cap all of the segments. Okay, the green cars are capped. They just haven't reached their cap. Okay, they never could reach their cap because Uber stepped in and blew them away, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so cap the Ubers, cap all the black cars. Okay, Uber included.
Right.
Okay. In other words, it should only be so many black cars, and whoever gets there first gets them. If it's Carmel, if it's Interboro, whoever has black cars. I don't even know the names of all the companies. But Uber is just supposed to be another black car company, not cars that hang out parked somewhere. You know, not on a base. They're not on a base. That you know. We have examined some of their bases, and they're merely storefronts, okay, with no parking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, back in the days, if you were running a base, you needed a parking lot for at least some of your cars.
Yeah.
I mean, there was something like 5-1 or 3. Because now I live out in Queens by LaGuardia, and, dude, I got to tell you, I'm right by LaGuardia Airport. There's Uber cars all over the place, hogging up parking spaces. And they're commercial vehicles. I mean, what about the resident who has a house and a car? I mean, thank God I have a driveway. But it's just this flood of Uber cars here and in Brooklyn, and they're just needless. You have a lot of cars that aren't even being used efficiently. And this also leads into the fact that the city of New York, under de Blasio, blew off about $2 billion in yellow cab medallion sales for this nonsense. And I think what happened was these geeks came in from the West Coast and pitched this whole Uber thing into the current administration, which sounded like a big pie in the sky, and now it's turned out to be a big headache and a mess, and the traffic is horrible. Mm. And they don't even sit for calls. They just mope around and crawl around, and it's a complete disaster. Oh, the other thing I had, you have a very good point about capping these vehicles. What they should have done from jump, which cap the Uber cars. Because, listen, you can't just... Every Uber car is 150 square feet of car.
Well, the mistake was made in 1937 when they capped the yellow taxis. They also should have put in there a limit of other cars that could do transportation. Because even going back that far, there were probably private car services. Okay?
They should have said that bit. They should have said, listen...
Yeah,
we're just doing yellow cab. We're not doing all these this mountain of cars is like floating around.
Well, that's the problem is that when they started with the black cars because they were taking the radios out of the yellow cars, you know, because people were complaining that they can't get a taxi because, you know, a third of the cabs were on radio call. If you remember going back to the early 1980s, okay? And they said, well, we'll put the radios in the black cars. We'll make a new segment called the black cars where people could call the radios, and then all of the taxis would be free to do street hails. That worked out fine for a while, but their biggest mistake was they did not, say, put a limit on the black cars, you know, to be examined every few years to see if more taxis are needed or more black cars are needed, okay? All right, the big mistake was they did not do that, all right? They didn't do it in 1937, mm-hmm. and they didn't do it in the 1980s. Now, let me read maybe a little bit of our friend David Pollack's article here. Big Problems to Fix in New York City's Flawed Taxi Accessibility Program by David Pollack. This appeared in a publication called City and State New York. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, New Yorkers are right to be angry about a recent audit by Comptroller Scott Stringer that found the city failed to collect nearly $6 million to promote wheelchair-accessible taxis. Okay? But the Comptroller's findings are just the tip of the iceberg on the flawed accessibility program that is spiraling out of control under Mayor Bill de Blasio's watch. Okay? New York City's taxi industry has been trying for years to comply with an accessibility program that is fundamentally broken. $6 million will not save it, but it can be strengthened if the mayor and his taxi and limousine commission make sensible reforms to support both taxi drivers and wheelchair users. This program began in 2013 after an agreement to make 50% of the city's yellow taxis wheelchair accessible by 2020. It operates on the TLC rules that require some taxi owners to purchase and operate accessible cars. Some important mm-hmm. progress has been made, as around 13% of the city's nearly 14,000 yellow taxis are now accessible to wheelchair users. But those numbers also clearly show that the city is not on track to make half the taxis fleet accessible. Okay?
Right.
And it goes on, there are two fundamental problems that are driving the accessible taxi program into the ground. One involves an mm-hmm. absurd decision to grant a monopoly to one car manufacturer, that would be Nissan, okay? And the other is a result of the city's failure to level the playing field between yellow taxi drivers and Uber and other ride-sharing companies. Before the 2013 agreement that established the accessibility program, the city had already given an exclusive contract to Nissan for its NV200 model, also known as the Taxi of Tomorrow. As a result of the agreement, this model became the only vehicle allowed for use as an accessible taxi in the five boroughs. Simply put, the NV200 is a clunker that is terrible for city streets. Okay?
And who wrote this?
David Pollack.
Taxi Dave. Well, let me tell you something.
Taxi Dave.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Okay?
Yeah, I just want to jump in here real quick and say, I've always thought that so-called decision from the local courts, from New York courts, everything New York, I think if that order goes to the Supreme Court, I think they'd get thrown out on their ear because you can't force a business to buy a specific type of vehicle. That's illegal. That's like communism. I mean, there has to be some
It was taken to court, and the court ruled exactly what you said, but then the appeals court overturned it.
The New York appeals court. Everybody keeps saying appeals court.
No,
you got to spend a little extra money, boys and girls, and take it to the United States Supreme Court, because this is a commerce law, and in my opinion, it's illegal, and they don't want to go that far. And I think that's what happened, is you get into a negotiation thing. It's like, all right, I'll tell you what we'll do. And instead of going into this whole big, we'll negotiate, and you only have to get half it. So instead of fighting the good fight, they put the brakes on and made a deal, which I think it jumps us back into, like, what are we doing here? I don't know for sure, but I'd love to look into that. And Dave, this article is on the website. We have this article on our website.
It's in the news portion of the website. Okay, it's stated, let me see here. It was 8/15, August 15th. Look at the articles from August 15th, and the title of the article is "Big Problems to Fix in New York City's Flawed Taxi Accessibility Program." Okay.
Right.
So you, anybody can go on NYC Taxi News and read this article. Okay. There's more to the article. Okay. I don't know if you want to go any further. Okay. But I'll read more information. Yeah.
Yeah, they can read it on the website.
Let me just read the last paragraph, the concluding paragraph. Everyone agrees that wheelchair accessible users should have greater access to quality transportation options, but unless the city fixes these problems, the accessible taxi plan is doomed for failure. Hopefully the controller's recent order is the wake-up call that forces Mayor de Blasio and the TLC to fix deeper flaws in this program. Okay, mm-hmm. and my solution is, you know, find out how many people need wheelchairs, okay, wheelchair-accessible taxis or vehicles, and divide the responsibility equal amongst all segments of the industry, percentage-wise.
That's all.
Right, in other words, 5% of the yellows, not 50% of the yellows, 5% of the yellows, 5% of the greens, 5% of the, you know, whatever that figure comes to. Okay, I'm just using that as an example. But first figure out what you need before you flood the streets. You know they didn't do this with the black cars. You know, they didn't the radio cars in the beginning. They didn't say, well, we need so many radio cars and that'll take care of it, so let's cap that. And they could have capped that and sold them medallions just like they did the yellows. You know,
mm-hmm.
Let everybody profit. You know, let everybody work for something in the future. You know,
they're also under the idea that the cab driver and the people running cabs is almost an afterthought. Their thing is, what's going to be good politically? How can I get press time and FaceTime on the 6 o'clock news? They're listen. You need someone to drive these vehicles. You have to pay those people to drive these vehicles, and you have to maintain these vehicles, and you have to make sure the people running cabs have enough money coming in, or it's a profitable business. There's no law that is forcing us to do this. And right now we got a hot economy. It's heating up. A lot of cabbies have just left because they didn't have to do this nonsense. They didn't have to put up with this nonsense from City Hall. And now you have cabs sitting. You have a lot of these, I'd say the overwhelming majority of cabs that are sitting are wheelchair cabs that are sitting because the drivers do not want to drive them. So it would be one thing if you said, hey, you know, if you drive that wheelchair car sitting in the lot, you can make $1,000 a day. I'd be like, my $1,000 a day, let's go. But right now, to drive the wheelchair car sitting in the lot, more often than not, you're going to lose money driving that wheelchair car. All right, but now the money is coming in a little bit by dribs and drabs. So, and a few points I want to kick in here is you're right. You're 100% right, 1,000% right, because this has never been addressed on a need basis. We've never really seen how many people in wheelchairs there are and how many daily rides there are that would justify tens of thousands of vehicles being outfitted for wheelchair service. And you just say to yourself, okay, well, we can cover the work, but we have to reward the people doing that extra step. And the other thing is, I went to this wheelchair class. It's joke. I mean, it's like a nothing thing. It's a nothing burger, as they say. And the one thing that gets me is you have older drivers in the business. I mean, I'm in 60, but I'm pushing 60, but I'm in pretty good shape. But what about the guys who are in the 70s or 80s, and maybe they have a physical ailment, but they can still drive a cab? They're being forced to basically push a wheelchair that weighs 200 or 300 pounds with a person that might weigh 200 or 300 pounds into a cab and put on belts. And a lot of these people aren't physically able to do this. And this has been another all or nothing thing by the city. It's like, well, you're saying that this cab driver has to take a class for this. How do we know the cab driver, him or herself, doesn't have a bad back or a bad neck or a bad shoulder or something, mm-hmm. where they're risking their own personal safety pushing these wheelchairs into cabs? And the other thing that jumped out at me, a lot of these wheelchairs are motorized now. We don't need them. You don't need them to go into cabs. Some of these wheelchairs, I've seen them on the street. I mean, granted, you can get a fare from Manhattan to Brooklyn where you actually physically need to put that wheelchair into a cab. But these people are zipping around on the streets. They're going 15, 20 miles an hour. I'm thinking of getting one myself, honest to God, you know? And the last thing I jotted down is the pickup and drop-off zones. After all this wheelchair mumbo-jumbo, I have yet to see any markings on the streets or on the sidewalks or anywhere in the city of New York with that big artsy-fartsy wheelchair logo that says, okay, this is an official pickup and drop-off zone for cabs for wheelchair customers. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. All these people that got working, in quotes, for the city, why can't they get some a bucket of paint and paint the wheelchair logo where a yellow cab or a livery car, legal livery car, can specifically pick up and drop off people in wheelchairs? Because I ask these people in wheelchairs, I say, well, where does a cab driver usually pick you up? He goes, well, he usually picks us up in the crosswalk or next to the fire hydrant, and the fire hydrant is usually littered with dog piss and feces, because that's where the dogs go historically. And the crosswalk, you get yourself killed picking up and dropping off at a crosswalk. So all these problems should have been addressed, but since the TLC is run by a lot of people who never drove cabs or operated cabs,
the TLC,
this is the problem. This is where we are.
The TLC is run and has been run for the last 30 or 40 years by people that don't look before they leap.
Right.
Okay? They don't think before they rule. Okay? They don't they do surveys that are BS. Okay?
Right.
And studies, I should say. Studies that are BS. Okay? Because it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if you put 100,000 cars on the street, you're going to have traffic.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
oh, absolutely.
And then after they put 100,000 cars on the street, they go, well, we got to do a study to see where the traffic's coming from. You know, who to blame? Who to blame? What are you talking about? Who to blame? You put 100,000 cars on the street. You know, come on, hello. Right. You put 100,000 cars on the street. You need a study? There's nothing to study here. Okay, you should have capped these cars. They should have been capped from the very beginning. You should have figured out how many of these cars are needed, and they should have been capped. I said this as far back as 20 years ago. I wrote an article in 2007. 2007 appeared in the New York Sun called Ocean in the Burrows, where I said, Ocean cap the these cars now. Okay, that was 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago.
Right.
Okay, everybody at the TLC read that article. I know that because Alan Fromberg, after reading it, said to me, Abe, why didn't you tell us you were going to write this article? Okay,
right.
Alan, we love you. I'm only kidding. You know, I'm not getting on you. But, you know, where is the intelligence? Okay, where is the intelligence? All right.
Great.
Mike.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's interesting in that the chairman, or I apologize, the chairperson, Yoshi, she keeps going on, we're the taxi commission, we encourage competition, we encourage, it's like, listen, you put a cap in 1937 that basically stated the TLC was going to get rid of competition for yellow cabs, and we in turn said, oh, that sounds great, well, there'll be X number of yellow cabs, we can drive the streets. Thank you very much. Now she turns around and says, we encourage competition. And the other thing I fail to see is she says she encourages competition, but when she got the job, I didn't see a whole lot of competition for her job.
Mike,
used to work at the TLC, and they hired her from in-house, and I didn't see a lot of applicants coming from the outside with competition.
Okay, I got to just jump in here, okay?
Yeah.
I want to define competition. Okay, the reason for the cap in 1937 was there was too much competition on the streets with the taxi cabs. You know, one cab. When you're riding down the street and two taxis are going after the same fare, that's competition. Okay, so they had thousands of taxis riding down the street, competing with each other. There was too much competition. So they said, well, let's limit the number of taxis because that'll ease the competition and everybody will be, that's left out there will be able to make money. So what are they talking about? You know, well, now the yellows have to compete with the other segments of the industry, you know? No.
Right.
No, the competition is within the segments, okay? You know, You know, if you know, how did you got to figure out how many cars are needed to do the work. Did how many cars right. are needed to do the street hails? How many cars are needed to do the prearranged? How many cars are needed for the apps? Whatever, you know, and you have right. to limit that competition to within that segment, okay? The app shouldn't be competing with the street hails. The street hails shouldn't be competing with the green cars, or you know, it's not that's not competition. That's overkill. You talk about overkill. Yep. That's overkill. Okay.
Right. You could look at it in terms of building. I mean, you have to lay a foundation. Then you sit down with you have a plan and say, okay, what do we need? Okay, well, how many people are going to live in there? Well, I mean, we're going to have 1,000 people living in the apartment building. Okay, so we're going to have 1,000 people living in there. It's going to be a big place. We'll need 500 units. Okay, now it's like, okay, well, the other thing with TLC does, okay, we're building this. How many people are you going to have living in there? Well, we don't know. And we don't know, and if you don't build it 5 miles high, then you're anti-disabled. Taxis for all! Excuse me, we're trying to make a plan here. We're business people. We're trying to see what the numbers are. Taxis for all! We know taxis for all, but we don't know how many people physically need this taxis for all! That was the meeting that we used to have to take the TLC, and they panicked and flooded the streets with these
all right.
with these cars.
Okay, Mike.
But now we have a match.
I think we've got our points across. Okay?
I hope to God we do, yes.
Yeah, all right. So what else can we talk about today? Anything else going on?
Oh, we can go with the people who are the wonderful sponsors. You have wonderful sponsors?
Oh, yeah. We do have wonderful sponsors. If anybody would like to become a wonderful sponsor, they could email nyctaxinews@aol.com, okay? And right. I'm going to take a little sip of water here because, you know, my mouth is getting a little dry.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. And I want to say that the MTBOT wants you to drive an MTBOT car. And they're a wonderful organization. Over 5,000 medallions are members of the MTBOT, which is the Metropolitan Taxi Cab Board of Trade. Okay, and if you are an MTBOT driver, the following is all for free: free defensive driving and wave training course instruction, free online TLC application and renewal processing, free legal representation at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic, and Criminal Court. Okay. And free experienced MTBOT staff members are there to work with you should you have any problems that come up, okay? And you can call Can Chan Das at 718-784-4343 and drive an MTBOT taxi cab, okay? And Mike, you want to talk about Checker?
I will certainly do want to talk about Checker. Checker Taxi is located in Long Island City, New York. Their number is 718-361. What's their number again? I don't have it right on the screen.
Oh, it's 718-361-6300. Okay.
If I live to be 1,000 years old, I'll forget that last part. Okay, 718-361-6300, correct?
Correct. And they're at 1105 38th Avenue in Long Island City. Mike drives for them. Okay.
Yep.
You know,
from time to time. I drive for other people too. But right now, I'm over at Shea Checker, and they're at 1105 38th Avenue, Long Island City. They're at 718-361-6300.
Yeah.
And make it happen. That's their logo.
Now,
they have great cars. Great weekly deals. Great daily deals. I know they have a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night shift deal. That is out of this world, and it's almost too low to say on the air. But you can call them up and say, yeah, I heard about your Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night shift deal. What's the story? Call them up. 718-361-6300.
Right.
I'm a moron. 718-361-6300.
Okay.
Check them out. Check.
Okay.
And you also got WB Taxi over there, too.
WB Taxi is on 43rd Avenue. Okay, you make your left going under the under the Yell there on Queens Boulevard, coming off the 59th Street Bridge. You make that left onto Skillman Avenue, and 43rd Avenue branches out to the right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
yes.
And you go to 35th Street, and you're over there at WB Taxi. Okay?
You beautiful. Get, we like
okay?
it.
Yeah, and he has what he calls the lowest daily shifts and prices. Okay?
Yep.
And go over there and get yourself a start making money. Hey, you Uber drivers, you're not making any money. Find out what the yellows are doing. We're making money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And come
home.
Right. Come home. Right. Or if you never drove a yellow cab before, a lot of Uber drivers never drove a yellow cab. Would you believe that, Mike?
I know.
Okay.
I find it hard to believe that they've never driven a yellow cab before.
You know, and let me just say something. No, in a yellow cab, nobody will bother you. Okay.
Right.
There's none of this. You know, you must give out water. None of this. You know, you gotta. You know, rate your passenger. Get rated by. Nobody bothers you. You just get in the car and drive right. and make money. Period.
Right. Now okay? the other thing is interesting. Like yeah. me, for example, I had a little window of opportunity to get all this crap out of my house. It was like a spring cleaning in the dead of summer,
uh-huh.
and I was working every day. I had a weekly car. And July 4th weekend came, and now I jump back to like maybe 2 or 3 days a week. But that's the yellow cab. That's the beauty of the yellow cab. You can work like a horse for about 6 months. You can work like a horse for a month. And then if you got things to do, you can jump back and work 2 or 3 days a week. You don't have to go in every single day like
that's
you.
Right.
I mean, you're one of the smartest guys I know.
That was one of the biggest things that attracted me to this business in 1970, which is now 47 years ago. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd be saying this when I was 23 years old, okay? But
yeah.
but the thing that attracted me the most was that if I woke up in the morning and I didn't want to work that day, I didn't, and nobody cared.
Right.
Well, maybe they cared a little bit, but there was no repercussions from it. You can come in whenever you want. And WB Taxi's
right.
phone number, they're at 3511 43rd Avenue, is 718-729-7777, okay?
Correct. That
okay.
number again?
718-729-7777. You can't
correct.
Ask
now,
for an easier
now,
number to remember. Okay?
Right. And now we also have a notice of a class action settlement. That's
oh, wait. Don't forget about King Brokerage. Okay?
King Brokerage, where are my manners? Go ahead. You
okay,
had, you're from Brooklyn, so you get, you get the
say, Brooklyn. We're there saying purchase a new NV2 Wave, earn $35,000 in bonuses a year. Probably more you could earn if you just drive these wheelchair cars, okay? It's not the end of the world. You're going to make money. You're going to get all these bonuses. You're going to get 50 cents a trip extra whether you pick up a disabled person or not, okay? All fares.
Right.
Every fare is 50 cents extra as long as you're driving an NV200 Wave or another Wave vehicle, okay? And King Brokerage is out there on the Bensonhurst, Bay Ridge border somewhere, okay,
mm-hmm.
at 6814 Fifth Avenue in Brooklyn. And their number is 718-833-8110, okay? And let's not forget about Taxi CPA, Tony Tax, okay, 718-413-6126. He will keep after your taxes all year long. He will have a... He's the greatest accountant in the world, I think.
Right.
No, he is. He's a really great guy. He's a really great guy, and you want to call him to do your taxes. He's very experienced in all taxi matters, all FHV matters as far as your taxes go, and he will come to you, okay? 718-413-6126. Now, if you want to read about any of these people, see their websites, go to the ads on NYC Taxi News on the front page. Click on the ads, and you will see their websites, okay? And one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
WB has a very neat little video, which is right on top of Tony Tax's ad. Okay, click on that
right.
and watch the video, okay? Let me get another drink of water. And there is a notice up here on the front page. Excuse me. There is a notice up here on the front page. Notice of class action settlement and fairness hearing. If you were involved in this class action, if you had your license revoked going back to the 8 or 10 years if you had your license revoked by the TLC for for things that happened in a car outside of the, not in the taxi.
The scope.
Yeah. Right. In other words, if you were in your private car and you got a DWI or some other offense, I think, that the TLC decided to revoke your license, if it didn't happen in a taxi, the courts have settled and the city has settled, and there's money waiting for you, okay? So click
on...
That's a very good
settlement. You can read the settlement office if you click on that.
Yeah.
And I want to thank Norman Siegel because and his the team for helping the cab drivers out, because I always wondered about that. At what point are we bound by the scope of the taxi commission and the in New York City with the yellow cab? I mean, once you park that cab and live your life, you're not, I don't think, working for the TLC anymore. I mean, unless you get thrown in jail for murder or something weird like that. You know, you really don't want that person on the road. But in terms of anything non-cab related, it does beg the question of what the hell's going on, you know?
Well, basically, this court decision has said that what happens outside of the taxi has nothing to do with you driving the taxi. Okay?
Well, so, in a way. You have to read the decision.
Read the decision. Okay. All right. I don't want to define it. I'm not a lawyer. Okay? You'll see the notice on the upper right-hand corner of the page. And if anybody out there wants that spot, this ad is only going to be there until September 8th. Okay?
Okay.
And this is a beautiful spot to put your advertising. Okay, and send us an email and we'll work out a reasonable fee for that. Okay, all right.
Reasonable rates.
Yeah, NYC Taxi News at AOL.com. Okay, gets directly to me. Gets directly to me that email. Okay.
Right.
So Mike, we did a pretty good show today. What do you think?
We rocked and rolled, my friend. It was a little scary in the beginning, but we managed to muddle through. So
okay.
I'm very proud of you, and I'm especially proud of me.
Well, you sure know how to rant, okay? And
I can. I was born with the gift of gab.
And are you going to be on the Taxi Day show tonight?
God willing, I'll make it. Yes, I think I'm going to jump into the Taxi Dave show tonight. And he's always got a great show. Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
you get you and me making the show earlier in the day, and then Sunday at 8 o'clock, I usually jump in there and say hi.
Mike, the thing that I've been waiting for him to do for the last couple of weeks is he keeps talking about this app that he's been keeping secret, okay, he says that once the app is introduced, the drivers will be flocking back to the yellows in droves, okay?
We shall see.
Uh-huh. Well... I'm waiting for him. He said he's going to have this guy on one of these days. I'm waiting for that to happen. Okay.
Right.
Can you fill us in on any of these secrets or what?
I'll try and pry some information from him tonight, but
yeah.
We shall see. You know, I'm all about getting an app for the yellow cab business to get more money. And I think the more the merrier.
Okay.
And you talk about competition. We should have some competition to get more calls.
Yeah,
well, we'll see.
Well, if you could double the money that the taxis are getting, and they're already doing okay, all right, but if you could double the money or just raise it 20-30%, that would certainly get people to start flocking back to the yellow taxis. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So goodbye, New York.
Okay, dude. Goodbye,
world.
New York. Goodbye, world. Thank you very much for listening, and we hope you're up to speed on some of this stuff that concern us and you. So we'll see you all next week.
Okay.